Dear people of God, in this morning hour, in this chapel, we have paused to praise, to give thanks, and to meditate. And I ask you to think with me in this hour on a single phrase taken from within the gospel lesson of the Sunday just passed, and also read this morning as we give attention to the Word of God. That simple, single phrase of our Lord is that sentence from his lips, "I will come to you." And if we see the reality and the assurance that is in these words, then we will find strength to walk in the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we forget these words and the truth conveyed herein, then we will find difficulty and trouble in warding off the prince of this world. With forgetfulness of the thought and the truth that is contained in this little phrase, then the pursuit to study for the ministry or to carry out the ministry as a called servant of God can easily turn into a human venture energized by ambition and with the search for self-glory and self-satisfaction. And so it is our prayer this morning as we look at this little phrase from our Lord, that the Holy Spirit would impress upon us again and anew and stamp into our hearts and minds this truth, so that when our self-seeking has rendered us weak and alone, we will be reminded and we will remember to seek the promised presence of our Lord. To be sure, this little sentence was spoken first to his disciples as the anticipated events of Good Friday loom so large. This was spoken to the disciples so that when they would see and experience the horrors of the cross and of the suffering of Friday and the death of their master, they would be aided in their hour of bereavement to remember, "I will come to you in the resurrection." And now, those words, however, are not limited in their meaning and application to that one-time event of centuries ago. They are not simply applicable to that one moment in history. These words speak to us today, and they mesh and they correspond and they relate to all of the activity of God as God came to helpless mankind. And from the moment when it is related in the holy record of the catastrophe which happened at Eden, from that moment on, repeatedly, over and over again, the activity and the attitude of God is constantly described as him coming to man, coming to rescue and to save. And here in this section, the one who speaks, speaks what the one who sent him told him to say. And it all relates to that activity of God. And you can hear the sound of the voice of God in this very phrase as God is calling out to Adam in the garden, "Adam, where are you?" And all of the words of the prophets are echoed here in this phrase, "Our God shall come. Though it tarry, wait for it will surely not lie. It will come and it will not tarry. And he did come, the promised one. He came and he announced, I am come that they might have life. I am come as a light into the world. I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And lest we forget, he also says, I am coming again. But we are not now caught up in some time of waiting where our Lord is absent, but rather he comes to us wherever two or three are gathered together in his name. And the promise is there. If any man will ask, my Father and I, we will come and we will make our abode with you. Untold numbers of people who have received the grace of holy baptism and who have tasted the presence of their Lord in the Holy Communion, untold numbers know the reality of this little verse, I will come to you. For they know that when they bent their ears to hear, he spoke. They know that when they listened, divine wisdom attended them. They know that when they were weak, strength came only because their Lord was present to give it to them. They were motivated to acts of love and of service by this living one. And today, we know it for sure through this simple, single promise, I will come to you. And he still comes to the two and three gathered together in the roadside chapel, in the cathedral, in jungle clearing, or in every setting where people pause to think on him. He comes, whether the two or three are the first ones to show up, or whether the two or three are all that is left. Today, we review this promise and remember what Dr. Luther said about it. When he commented upon this verse, he said, it's assurance here that the Lord will always attend his church. He will never leave it unprotected. He will come to the aid of his people. There's a specific application I'd like to make here today at this season of the year. Some of you very recently received into your hand a call or placement into service in the Church of our Lord. For the application, some of you perhaps can remember it. A number of years ago, Carl Malden was the spokesman for the American Express credit card. And every presentation he made, he always ended it with the words, "Don't leave home without it." For ministry, for service to him, you have this promise of his presence. Don't try it without him. God bless you all. Amen.